of the law. 5 years for what you did, the rest because you tried to run. Yes, 2 for 601. My name is Jean Valjean, and I am Javert. Do not forget my name, do not forget me. 2 for 601.
Chances are, just about everybody listening knows what that music came from. Of course, it's the musical Les Miserables that's been running continuously in London since, I believe, its opening in 1985, and just about all the way around the world as well. And you heard it here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, the show's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. And the local version presentation of Les Miserables, the latest local presentation, I should say, is happening at the Champaign-Urbana Theatre Company, production by the Champaign-Urbana Theatre Company at Parkland College in Champaign. Opening night is Thursday, and it continues through Sunday, August the 11th. And this is the third time that CUTC has presented Les Mis. The first two times were both what's called the school edition, which is available and was the only edition available that was, aside from the touring one, which was available for high school students and younger to play. And those were quite successful. And now they finally get their hands on the quote-unquote adult edition. And so we have a somewhat different cast, but not entirely, from at least the very first one that CUTC did back in 2006, I believe, which I know because I happen to have conducted it. And we have two members of that cast in this cast. More on that coming up. But we also have with us the stage director for this production, Stephen Fiol, who has done many things at Millikan University and at University of Illinois as director primarily. Of opera and musical theater, but also every once in a while he shows up on stage. I still remember, Stephen, you stole the show at a production of The Fledermaus, I believe it was. Is that the one where you were the jailer?
I was.
Yes. Absolutely stole the show.
Now I'm on the other side of the bars.
Other side of the bars, that's right. Aaron Kaplan is the music director, has done many shows for CUTC and other companies around. And with us on the piano is Po Chung and the cast as well. So, Steve, have you ever done Les Mis before?
Never. I have seen it. I've listened to it. I've seen more than one production of it and seen the 25th anniversary performance on this very radio station, a TV station, actually.
Our affiliated TV station, yeah.
But never directed.
And what drew you to it?
Aaron Kaplan asked me, and I said, okay.
Why not?
I'll apply, and I did, and they said yes, and so we are a team. But beyond that, I mean, it's a work that's obviously got a reputation that it's hard to ignore. So I'm drawn to it for a number of reasons, liking the show, as well as the casting potential of this. We had a terrific turnout of very talented people, and we have a strong cast. We would be proud to do this under any circumstances, in any theater, anywhere.
And that's saying something. Mm-hmm. A lot of theaters in the world. Aaron, why'd you ask Steve?
I asked Steve because I knew that when we got word that we got the rights to do the adult version, they're only licensing the adult version for a year because it's coming back to Broadway in April. Of 2014.
Oh, it's not there right now.
No, it's coming back to Broadway.
Astounding.
I know. So I knew that this show had to be just the best that it could possibly be. And I had known Stephen's work from the University of Illinois Opera Program for many years. And he and I had actually never met, but we both knew each other's work and had sort of going around in circles each other. So I sent him an email one day and I said, I know you. You don't know me, but I love your work, and I would love for you to consider applying with me to direct the show. And we talked, and he said yes.
And I asked all of Aaron's professors what they thought of him, and they said, "And you're waiting, Aaron, right?" They said that they thought highly of his work and his abilities. So,
Yeah, well, I've seen lots of shows that Aaron's directed, and I think they've been music's been uniformly excellent for those. A lot of the times doing the orchestra and solo, sometimes doing the full music. And so everybody is obviously in good hands, and you're all smiling, so you look like you agree with that. I'll just take that as an agreement. Well, let me introduce everybody, and then we'll have our first tune from this oh-so-well-known show. In the role of Jean Valjean, which is certainly an iconic role by now, created by Colm Wilkinson, whom we heard in that original Broadway production, Kyle Polio, who is, you're a doctoral student at the University of Illinois?
That's correct,
in
yes,
the
sir.
Opera program. Timothy Renner, in the role of Javert, also a doctoral student at the University of Illinois Opera Program. I've seen in, actually, you've been on here a couple of times for mm-hmm. other shows, and I've seen in a couple of productions. Caitlin Caruso-Dobbs is one of the people who was in the first Les Mis when you were...
12.
12, that's what I was going to say, 11 or 13, and I got it in between.
Close enough.
And on that occasion, you played the role of Eponine and,
yes.
and pretty much blew everybody away.
Thank you.
With the notion that somebody that young could do that well. But you're playing Cosette this time around.
Yes.
And Caitlin is a voice student at NYU.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be a sophomore this fall. Corbin Knight-Dixon is the other who was in that first CUTC cast, and I know you were in high school, but you remember what grade at that point?
I think I was going into junior year. I was 16 years old.
And you are actually reprising the role you did.
I am.
The role of Marius. You're going to get it right this time, huh?
Oh. Oh. Working for it.
No, Corbin actually had sort of a tragic illness during that time.
Yeah.
I think, were you the one that I needed to talk into not doing the show? For a performance?
I think there was a performance we got halfway through at an awful sinus infection.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got halfway through and we decided to pull in an understudy.
We didn't have an understudy. Somebody else did it. But anyway,
we do this time.
So Corbin, somebody learned. <huh? laughs> And then Mara Sotelo is in the role of Eponine.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And also at the University of Illinois? Or where are you? You're
right. I graduated a while ago, actually.
Oh, a while ago. Okay. Yeah. We're going to leave it at
I'm
that.
I'm not going
to
tell you when.
Bethany Stiles is in the role of Fantine, the real heart melter, heartbreaker in not the usual sense of that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely the most heartbreaking song in the show, which I suppose we're going to hear.
Yes.
In a matter of moments. And you're also a doctoral student at the University of Illinois?
That's correct, yes.
And we've met all the singers, I guess. Should we just launch right into it?
Absolutely.
Get out your hankies, everybody. Steve, why don't you set this up for those who haven't seen the show and don't remember what has happened at this point. You want to do it?
Set it up for us.
Sure.
I'd be happy to. This song occurs as Fantine has been shunned at the factory where she's working, and it's been discovered that she has a child for whom she cares for very much but can't be with and sends money for her care. That is, of course, Cosette. And she is the envy of the factory workers. They envy her purity, her piety, her rejecting the advances of the foreman, and they're very jealous of her. And yet she's so one-tracked that all she wants to do is care for her daughter and think, and she's recalling in this particular song happier times, happier days when, life was worth living. And now, in fact, she has to question whether it is or not.
And she's fired. She's been dismissed.
Yes, she's been dismissed from the factory. I didn't want to give them everything. I'm just kidding. No, she has, in fact, been dismissed. And so this precedes her, kind of her descent into, you know, where she actually gives everything she has for her daughter, including, of course, her life.
Bethany Stiles as Fantine from Les Miserables with Paul Chiang at the keyboard from the production by the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, which will open on Thursday.
There was a time when men were kind and their voices were soft and their words inviting. There was a time when love was blind and the world was a song and the song was exciting. There was a time then it all went wrong. life worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. Then I was young and unafraid, and dreams were made and used and wasted. There was no ransom to be paid, no song unsung, no wine untasted. But the tigers come at night with their voices soft as thunder, as they tear your hope apart, as they turn your dream to shame. Took my childhood in his stride, but he was gone when autumn came. And still I dream he'll come to me, that we will live the years together. Cannot be, and there are storms we cannot weather. I had a dream my life would be so different from this hell I'm living, so different now from what it seems.
Bethany Stiles in the role of Fantine from Les Miserables. Of course, I Dreamed a Dream. That she will be singing that in the production by the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, which opens Thursday and runs through August 11th at Parkland College Theater in Champaign. And you heard her live on Live and Local with pianist Po Chang. Support for our program today comes from the Decatur Celebration, August 2nd through 4th in downtown Decatur. Live musical acts include Here Come the Mummies, 70s rock band Foghat, American Idol finalist Casey Abrams, and many more. Events include a karaoke competition, Razzle Dazzle Good Times Parade, and a hot dog eating contest. Details are at DecaturCelebration.com. Everybody gives thumbs up to the hot dog eating contest. Bethany, your role, you're probably on stage the shortest amount of time. Well, you are on stage the shortest amount of time of any of the leads of in this musical, and yet your role is the pivotal one, essentially, in that you get everything started. His relationship with you outs Jean Valjean to Javert, essentially, and of course introduces him to Cosette, and that and all rolls from there. What are the challenges for you to try to embody this rather complex character who's on for such a little period of time?
Well, she is she's just the ultimate sinner saint. She cares so much for her daughter, and to do justice to the beauty of that relationship has been my biggest challenge, because I feel that she has such a short amount of time to really, you know, set the show up the way that that the rest of the characters can develop strongly from that. And I've been given so many amazing directions from Steve, from Aaron, and from my castmates as well. It's been a really collaborative process, and you know, it just, I read the novel. I have not seen the film, but that was just a choice I made, so that I wouldn't, when I knew that they were going to do this and I wanted to audition for it, I wanted to make Fantine as personalized as I possibly could. So I just, the workshopping of great ideas with my castmates has been truly one of the most beneficial things, and helping me to internalize Fantine and bring her to fruition.
Oh, certainly, it's beautifully sung, and I'll be anxious to see myself how
you
manage to do it dramatically, because that's hard to tell sometimes just in a, when you have a microphone in front of you. Steve, you said that Steve Fields, the stage director for this, you said that you hadn't done the show before or any aspect of it, but it had a reputation that drew you. What is that reputation in your mind that made you want to do it?
Well, I mean, it's an iconic piece for, you know, not everybody in the world, but a large segment of the theater-going population of the world. And it is, I'm interested in what draws that kind of a public to see it, hear it, support it, and love it. And, you know, I'm familiar with it, but I haven't been intimately associated with it. I did see the movie. I'm almost sorry to say, but maybe I shouldn't say that, but I find that it's interesting that people choose to do musicals. Sweeney Todd was another movie that falls in this category. Why they pick non-singers to sing a musical is a curious choice to me. And certainly the quality of having it sung with a microphone 8 inches from your face is a very different quality of presentation than singing it on stage for a large audience. I guess I feel like I had to get my hands into something of this magnitude is an interesting challenge.
And Aaron Kaplan is the music director. This is it's virtually an opera. I mean, we have a number of training operatic singers here, but it's virtually an opera in that the music never stops. I don't recall that there's maybe one spoken line somewhere along the way. What sort of challenges does that present to you as the conductor that is not quite normal for a musical?
Well, it's certainly an endurance test. Once we start with the prologue, we don't really... I think we have 5 seconds during that one line of dialogue that you mentioned, and then we keep going until the end of Act One, which is about 90 minutes or so. So both for myself and the orchestra, as an orchestra musician, when you play in a pit for a musical, you know, you sort of kind of go on automatic pilot and play the song, stop, wait for dialogue for 5 minutes, play another song, go. And in this one, the trickiest thing is there's so many transitions that are very subtle, and we're always playing, so you always have to sort of keep, you can't go on automatic pilot. You always have to keep your wits about you, and that coupled with, you know, dramatic license and people, you know, it's live and everyone, you know, everything's different a little bit every night, and you're always on your toes, which is a challenge, but it's fun.
I remember that when I conducted this thing, one of the hardest challenges I had was to see the page after Fantine finished singing.
Well, I hope that's true this time.
Guess what? Every time, yeah. And just contain your emotions sometimes, which I imagine has to be difficult for a singer, too. Maybe we'll talk about that in a moment. But so Fantine, having set up the confrontation between Valjean and Javert, I believe we have the element from that comes up soon that is actually called that. In the opera. We'll just call it an opera for the moment. So as Jean Valjean is Kyle Polio and Timothy Renner in the role of Inspector Javert. So this comes rather shortly after Javert figures out that Valjean is Valjean, right? What's the name of your character at this point in the story?
At this point, he is the mayor of the town of Montreuil-sur-Mer, so his name is Monsieur Madeleine.
otherwise Monsieur Le Maire.
Monsieur Le Maire.
All right, from Champaign-Urbana Theater Company's production of Les Mis.
Valjean, at last we see each other plain. Monsieur Le Maire, you'll wear a different tale.
Before you say another word, Javert, before you chain me up like a slave again, listen to me, there is something I must do. This woman leaves behind a suffering child. There is none but me who can intercede in mercy's name. 3 days are all I need. Then I'll return, I pledge my word. Then I'll return.
You must think me mad. I've hunted you across the years. Men like you can never change. A man such as you.
Believe in me, can what you will. Change. There is a duty that I'm sworn to do. Change. You know nothing of my life.
All I did was steal my some bread. My duty is to the law. You have no right. Come with me to 2601.
Now, but not before I see this justice done.
Is nothing now.
I am warning you, Javert. I'm a stronger man by far. There is power in me, yet my race is not yet run. I am warning you, Javert. I'm a stronger man by far. If I have to scum like you, I'll do what must be done. And this I swear to you tonight.
There is no place for you to hide.
Your child will live within my care.
Wherever you may hide away.
And I will raise her to the light. I swear to you, I will be.
The confrontation scene early in Les Miserables with Timothy Renner as Inspector Javert and Kyle Polio as Jean Valjean here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They are live in our studio previewing the production by the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company that will take place starting Thursday and run through August 11th. Kyle, curious, have you seen any of the productions either on television or elsewhere involving Paul Milkinson?
Absolutely. I had the fortune when I was very young, I saw him do the 10th anniversary tour, national tour. And I was very young at the age, and unfortunately I fell asleep halfway through the second act because I didn't know any better. But my mom did sort of nudge me in the side and said, for bring him home, and was like, you have got to hear this, you've got to hear this. And I also met him backstage as well. This was in Houston, Texas, where I'm from.
So you met him backstage at that?
At that production, yes, sir. Yeah. And I was immediately captivated by the sort of man that he is. He's a very gracious man, a very nice man, and very exacting in his artistry. And even though I knew that I wanted to be a performer well before that, it sort of helped to solidify a lot of the aspects of wanting to be a quality performer that he presented. I mean, from the original London show to the Broadway version and then the national tour, I mean, the man had vocal cords of steel to get through 4,000 performances of Valjean. It's a stamina test for sure, but and he's a sort of a brilliant character that he creates in the way that Valjean ages over the course of the entire story as well.
So age 10 was a long time ago. We don't need to discuss how long, but
not too much.
Oh, okay. Have you then seen video representations since then?
Of course. I mean, I saw the 25th anniversary through WILL, the affiliate. And I did see the movie. And for the audience that's looking to come and find Hugh Jackman's abs, they will not, unfortunately, they will not be seeing that. I am a young opera singer. But but in my only thing that I do like about the movie is going back and rereading the book. I read it in high school. Well, okay, let's be honest. I read Cliff Notes in high school. I'm sorry, Miss Polly from Alvin High School, but that's how I got through it. But I reread it for this role because Stephen mentioned that we really don't have to create a lot of our characters. A lot of it, Victor Hugo created, and little things that we can add into the story or into our own action help add another layer, and they're all in the book. The way that he deals with Cosette, the way that he looks at Eponine on the street when they encounter each other, they're very much written down. But I did reread it, and I think that it's really beneficial that I got to reread it. I don't know if I would have picked it up had I not been offered this role, but I'm certainly glad that I got to read a piece of classic literature like that.
I was just curious about the whether, having seen Wilkinson, is you feel is a hindrance or a help to you in trying to create this character?
Only in the mind of a young tenor that's wanting to sing well. I guess you could call it a hindrance because it's only because I want to do as well as him, but really I just have to do as well as I can do.
And of course, he's not an opera singer.
No, not at all. But he is a great character creator, and I think that that's something that I would like to think that I helped excel in myself as well.
Well, folks can find out starting Thursday at Parkland College Theater. We have Tim Renner hasn't left the microphone. He's up. He's waiting to sing one of the two big numbers for Javert. This is the first of the two, right?
Yes.
And what is leading up to Stars, or what has led up to Stars?
Just prior to singing Stars, Javert discovers that a man he has encountered on the street is actually Jean Valjean. And although he's disappeared, he realizes that this is he, and he is reaffirming his confidence and his resolution to continue chasing Valjean and to bring him to justice.
Such as he believes it to be.
Yes, yes.
Po Chiang is at the piano. We're live on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Out in the darkness, a fugitive running, fallen from God, fallen from grace. God be my witness, I never shall yield till we come face to face, till we come face to face. He knows his way in the dark. Mine is the way of the Lord. Those who follow the path of the righteous shall have their reward. And if they fall as Lucifer fell, the flame, the sword. In your multitudes, scarce to be counted, filling the darkness with order and light. You are the sentinels, silent and sure, keeping watch in the night, keeping watch in the night. You know your place in the sky. You hold your course and your aim. And each in your season returns and returns and is always the same. And if you fall as Lucifer fell, you fall in flame. And so it must be, for so it is written on the doorway to paradise, that those who falter and those who fall must pay the price. Lord, let me find him, that I may see him, safe behind bars. I will never rest till then. This I swear. This I swear by the stars.
Timothy Renner in the role of Javert from Les Miserables with Po Chang at the piano here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, where we're previewing the upcoming production of Les Mis by the Champaign-Urbana Theatre Company. They've done it twice before, both times in the student version. Now this is the quote-unquote adult version. It opens on Thursday at Parkland College in Champaign, with performances through Saturday at 7:30, Sunday matinee at 2:30, and then a similar schedule next week, Thursday through Sunday. This question sort of betrays a prejudice on my part, Tim, regarding the role of Javert. It has always struck me as his is the element that makes this story happen for such a long period of time, because he's chasing for so long, which always struck me as being kind of ridiculous, you know, that this character can't let go of this notion. I'm just curious if that has struck you that way at all, and whether it has or not, how do you sustain a character that has such an obsession, an unrelenting obsession for such a long period of time?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's more difficult in the musical to portray Javert's true character, I think, than what you see in the book. He's definitely seen in the musical as more of just a bad guy. He's a villain, and why is he doing this? But in Victor Hugo's novel, we see Javert as a man who is very, very disciplined. He lives his entire life by a set of rules. And like you say, the fact that he is chasing Valjean for such a long period of time demonstrates the extent of his commitment to those rules. And so in an aria like Stars, that is a rare opportunity for his true nature to come out, in my opinion. And so I do my best to bring the soft side of his character, the fact that he is trying to do the right thing. And like you say, the extent of his discipline also is demonstrated in the fact that he cannot change. He literally cannot change his ways. And that's why when he is shown mercy by Valjean, and when he begins to see that Valjean really is a changed man, that he could possibly have some good in him, he can't deal with it. And that's why he commits suicide on a high F sharp. So, jumping onto a mattress, which hopefully you will not be able to see from the audience. Oh, sorry.
Oh, you gave that away.
Oh, no. He actually falls into the river.
Well, that's always one of the special effects that is, I'm sure, a challenge for every production to pull off. So now we know at least part of it.
He does a wonderful job. I mean, yeah, he gives me a lot of security. Yeah. Macaulay is a wonderful singer. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, three of you have mentioned so far having read the book. The last number of interviews that I've done, I think it's probably about three of them having to do with somebody's production of Les Mis or another, which means they must have all been student productions, I suppose. Virtually no one had read the book. And I wonder, Steve, is this an assignment you made everybody? Or did
I
they just
suggested it, yeah. And then I also tried to find, as I was reading it, I tried to note passages that were particularly beneficial to certain characters. I didn't have enough time to do it for everybody, but I tried to do that for some of them. But yeah, I strongly suggest and passed out some of the books at our first rehearsal. Hmm.
I was just curious because I know for myself when I was music directing it, I had to read the book to actually come to grips with the musical, really, because as Tim just said, so much is left out. I mean, if you just take the characters at face value as they're shown in the musical, you really know very little about anybody. And for me, I was able to do the show a lot more credibly, I hope, from having done it. So I'm actually delighted that you all have read the book. We have next the trio, right? The big trio between the love triangle, or an actual love interest, and then the would-be or hoped-for love interest in the case of Eponine. So as Marius, the student, who falls in love with a Cosette. We have Corbin Knight Dixon, and in the role of Cosette, who is the adopted daughter of Valjean, is another hyphenated person, Caitlin Caruso-Dobbs, and as Eponine, Mara Sotelo, live on Live and Local.
A heart full of love, a heart full of song, I'm doing everything all wrong. Oh God, for shame, I do not even know your name. Dear Mademoiselle, won't you say, will you tell? My name is Marius, bon merci.
And mine's Cosette.
Cosette, I don't know what to say.
Then make no sound.
I am lost.
I have
a heart full of light. A night bright as day. And you must never go away. Cosette, Cosette,
this is a chain we'll never break.
Do I dream?
I'm awake.
A heart full of love.
He was never mine.
A heart full of you. A single look and then I knew.
He'll never say, not to me,
from today,
not to me, not for me,
every day,
for it is a dream, not a
Heartful of Love from Les Miserables with Kyle sitting over here. Corbin Knight Dixon as Marius and Caitlin Caruso-Dobbs as Cosette and Mara Sotelo as Eponine, who we're going to hear in a moment on her own. But that just came out. Caitlin, since when you did this, you've only done this show once before, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if you did it the second time that CUTC did the production or not. You were Eponine in that one.
Yes.
Now you're Cosette. And in, and at the time you were, I thought, as I remember, a strong alto.
Thanks.
and which is how you speak.
Yes. Sure.
But, you know, obviously you got the high notes for Cosette.
I
mean, both vocally and dramatically, what's different for you this time around?
Well, vocally, it's actually a really nice challenge for me because as you say, I typically do alto things. Like I typically sing alto belter repertoire and I play those kind of roles. But I mean, I guess I've studied some classical repertoire in a few roles that were soprano-y, like Marion Peru and this kind of thing. But like this one is such a challenge for me because it's having to sustain the high notes and you can't just like touch them and go. It's like, oh, you have to hold it. It has to sound pretty and have tone. So that's been a challenge for me. But it's really comes at a perfect time because this year at school, I was a freshman in vocal performance at New York University. I'm studying with a concentration in music theater as opposed to classical voice, but still we're getting classical training and we've really been focused on head voice and not belting or doing any of that kind of thing that I do a lot, and it's really made a huge change in my singing voice. I don't know if other people can tell. Some people have said things to me, but I know myself, the way I approach things, even the way I approach the lower repertoire I used to sing is different. Like, it feels different, seems different. And I feel like I could never have done this role, like, last year before I had gone to school. And that it's a good thing for me to be doing right now because it's kind of going along with what I'm studying. I'm not, like, you know, going totally against, you know, my voice teacher won't be super mad at me. So.
Well, I'm actually kind of curious. I'm glad you addressed the difference of, well, a little bit, the difference of singing for musical theater where people often belt, mm-hmm. especially if on Broadway, and versus classical training, mm-hmm. which often leads to opera. And for those of you who are training to be opera singers, I wonder if you're having to modify your approach to singing for this role or for these roles or not.
I would say that it is a little bit of a guilty pleasure singing this style of music. You know, just occasionally I'll straight tone something for dramatic effect, and I haven't experienced too many adverse physical effects. So, and Steve hasn't necessarily shot me down either. we'll see.
To add something, I would add to that is there is a big emphasis placed on by both Steve and Aaron about finding your voice within these characters. And so as somebody who has done musical theater, but, you know, in earlier part of my life and have been training classically for the last 12 years, 15 years, it's just a real freedom to let your voice come through in these characters and not latch on to something you've heard, although mm-hmm. those are certainly excellent places from which to start. Recordings and videos, and certainly, as you mentioned, the character, you know, the people who have come before and created these roles in the musical should be applauded and certainly listened to, but that, you know, we've been told to take it, personalize it, and make it our own. So it's been a real treat to do that.
I think without that fundamental classical training that Caitlin is even mm-hmm. experiencing at NYU and that we've kind of grown up with, I don't think certainly doing 8 shows would be a possibility, because there's so much. The tessitura for all of the characters is very high, from Javert, myself as well. For me, this is not the type of normal role that I tend to sing. I rarely do dramatic roles. I'm usually the funny sort of character tenor dude that comes on and gets laughs and stuff like that. And I love those roles. Those are the roles I want to play for the rest of my life. So for me, it's been a chance also to stretch something dramatically. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of model singers, one of my models has been Russell Crowe, actually.
now the director is punching him.
Which is literally true. That did just happen. Next is Mara Sotelo, again as Eponine, and her big number On My Own, in which she realizes, I guess, that she's not going to get the boy.
No, this is the reality check. This is when she realizes there's no chance, and so she sings her heart out.
And yet she gives the ultimate sacrifice eventually.
Yeah, she loves Marius that much, where she would do anything to make him happy, and that includes, you know, helping him out with the girl of his dreams. So, yeah.
Live and Live and Local with pianist Po Chang here on Live. I said on Live and Local. There it is.
And now I'm all alone again, nowhere to turn, no one to go to. Without a home, without a friend, without a face to say hello to. And now the night is near, now I can make believe he. Here. Sometimes I walk alone at night when everybody else is sleeping. I think of him and then I'm happy with the company I'm keeping. The city goes to bed and I can live inside my head. On my own, pretending he's beside me. All alone, I walk with him till morning. Without him, I feel his arms around me. And when I lose my way, I close my eyes and he has found me. In the rain, the pavement shines like silver. All the lights are misty in the river. In the darkness, the trees are full of starlight. And all I see is him and me forever and forever. And I know it's only in my mind that I'm talking to myself and not to him. And although I know that he is blind, still I say there's a way for us. I love him. But when the night is over, he's gone. The river's just a river. Without him, the world around me changes. The trees are barren everywhere. The streets are full of strangers. I love him, but every day I'm learning. All my life will go on turning. The world is full of happiness that I have never known. I love him. I love him. I love him, but only on my own.
Mara Sotelo as Eponine from Les Miserables, the production that will be opening by Champaign-Urbana Theater Company on Thursday and continuing through Sunday, August 11th. It'll be at Parkland College Theater in Champaign. Mara, I was just looking over your some of the other roles you've done, and I looks like I've seen only two of these shows, not necessarily with you in them. You played Johanna in Sweeney Todd, Mimi in Rent. And I don't know Rosa in Drood, Amneris in Aida, though I should, shame on me, or Marta in Company or Christmas Eve in Avenue Q, but at least three of them have similarity. Two of them have similarities to this role in that they have a certain amount of tragedy to them, meaning Johanna and Mimi. Are you typecast?
I hope not. Well, I got to play Christmas Eve. So, I'd
so
like
I don't
to
know.
Think that,
tell me about that character.
Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
I think it was the most fun I had because I finally got to be funny for once. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, prior to that role, I feel like I was typecasted as kind of like the ingenue or like, I don't know, just those. They're fun characters, but, you know, Christmas Eve, she, you know, if you're not familiar with Avenue Q, it's kind of like adult Sesame Street. And she was one of the human characters, and she was Asian, and I had a chance to channel all my aunts and all the crazy Asian women in my life and put that all into one character and had a blast playing that part.
So you have to sort of suppress that.
Yeah.
In this particular.
Yeah,
one.
For parts like Johanna.
Yeah.
I didn't get to be the crazy Asian woman for that part, but yeah.
So you'll be the not-so-crazy Asian Eponine in this show.
No. She's a tough character, though.
Yeah,
I really like her. I like how deep and complex she is. You know, when you're introduced to her, because she is one of the Thénardiers, you know, I feel like she grew up. If you grow up in that kind of home, you have to know, you know, you have to be tough. And because you get pushed around, you know. But when she meets Marius, you see, like, a change, you know. I think, like, the girly side of her comes out. She's so in love with him. She wants him to know that. And so it's fun being able to portray that.
And the Thénardier is, of course, the innkeeper and wife, or it might be the innkeeper and husband, really, in the power struggle there, who are the comic relief of this show.
Right.
And, of course, you redeem yourself quite a bit. Well, we have as our last song for today's preview coming up in a moment with... why do I keep stumbling on your name, Corbin? You've been in this studio more than anybody else, Corbin Knight Dixon. In the role of Marius. Let me mention first that you can take WILO with you anywhere you go. Now we have finally developed an app for your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. You can just go to the App Store or Google Play and search for WILL Radio. The app is free. It allows you to stream this show, all of our shows on the FM station, as well as our companion WILL AM station, as well as to listen to past episodes of your favorite programs on demand. So that's the WILL app, and you can listen, stream this show live, as you can now, all of our FM shows, which didn't used to be true a few months ago. This is another of the Real Heartbreaker songs. All of your fellow students have died at the barricade. You're the only one left. Empty chairs and empty tables. You're sort of reimagining everybody being there in this coffee shop, right?
Yeah, he's really reflecting, I think, just on the times he's spent with these people. He's grown so close to, as well as Eponine, who he lost in this, previous scene or a couple of scenes prior. So I think he's just reflecting and realizing, you know, that he's still here and kind of questioning what his role has been in this whole revolution and the story.
Live on Live and Local.
There's a grief that can't be spoken. There's a pain goes on and on. Empty chairs at empty tables. Now my friends are dead and gone. Here they talked of revolution. Here it was, they lit the flame. Here they sing about tomorrow. And tomorrow never came. From the table in the corner, they could see a world reborn. And they rose with voices ringing, and I can hear them now, the very words that they had sung became their last communion on the lonely barricade at dawn. Oh, my friends, forgive me that I live and you are gone. There's a grief that can't be spoken. There's a pain goes on and on. Phantom faces in the window. Phantom shadows on the floor. Empty chairs at empty tables, where my friends will meet no more. Oh, my friends, don't ask me what your sacrifice was for. There's a grief that can be spoken. Now my friends will meet no more.
Corbin Knight Dixon as Marius and Po Chang at the piano, as he has been for this whole show. Wonderful job. Oh, thanks very much. And Corbin, I can hear a lot of more maturity in the voice than when you did this last time when you were in high school.
It's been a few years.
It's been a few years and a lot of studying at the university. Nice job.
Thank you.
Les Mis from Champaign-Urbana Theatre Company opens on Thursday. It runs through Saturday at 7:30 at Parkland College Theatre in Champaign. There's a Sunday matinee at 2:30, and then the schedule repeats Thursday, August 8th through Sunday, August 11th. We've been very pleased to have with us the stage director for the production, Stephen Fiol, music director, who's been sort of in the shadows for most of this, waving his hands, Aaron Kaplan, and from the production in the leading roles, Kyle Polio, Timothy Renner, Caitlin Caruso-Dobbs, of course, Corbin, and Mara Sotelo and Bethany Stiles. I want to say thanks very much to all of you for coming in, and sounds like it's going to be a vocally fabulous show, and I'm anxious to see how it'll be visually as well.
Thank you, Kevin.
And here are some other things you can see and hear live in our listening area over tonight anyway. Mac House, Boots Fulton, and Mark Laughlin will be at Clark Bar in Champaign this evening at 7 o'clock. It's the Clark Gibson Sextet playing jazz at the Iron Post in Urbana, also tonight at 7. The Midwest Institute of Opera presents Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro tonight at 7:30 at the Illinois State University Center for the Performing Arts in Normal. And the Springfield Municipal Band is performing at Douglas Park in Springfield for a show that starts at 7:30. I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local. Hope you've enjoyed today's program. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's 69 degrees coming up on 5 o'clock.